podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to another Touchline Fracas podcast. It's your boy Dan Coogs on hosting duty today. I don't know what's happened to the roster that was supposed to be on this week, but hella dropouts, man. People running from the grind.
Bunch of
cards. I'm not too sure what's going on, but you know, there's going to be an inquest this week for sure. I'm joined by Sebi on the left here.
Why didn't you start with me? You looked at me. You looked at me first, and then you said, "You know, like, let me start with Sebi."
Bro, like, see me. I'm never running in it, so I'm always here. Yeah, I mean, but as you said, there's definitely going to be an inquest. But yeah, man, I'm about.
See, the Rum rock star himself, man. I'm surprised we could get him out of his busy schedule, to be honest. But yeah, to my right, one of my good friends, man.
Shut up,
one of
my good friends. Just introduce me.
Tapping Tobes, Tottenham Tobes. Fresh off the back of a North London derby pasting. Yeah. How you doing, my man?
Yeah, no, I'm not good, to be honest. I'm not good. I was about to say I'm good. I'm not good. It's been a painful weekend. It's going to be a painful Monday, but the game is the game. When you lose...
I heard Emerson Rowe has hired Jersey's PT.
Bruv.
Can you confirm?
Bruv, it's not his strength or athleticism he needs to work on. It's his football quality. And if he's hiring me for his football quality, then no wonder he's this crap.
He needs to get his money back from whoever, that neuroscientist, bruv, that was telling him about keeping composure in the games and all this stuff. But we'll get into that, man. So the game that's going on at the moment, so the TV's broken, so we're sort of watching it on our phones at the moment. Is the Manchester derby. So Sebi, let's get your thoughts actually on the opening sort of 30 minutes or so with your side 1-0 down. Oh my God. Almost two.
Grealish is moving mad.
Yeah, Grealish is on it today.
Yep.
But yeah, you're 1-0 down at the moment, Phil Foden goal. Yeah. Sebi, what's your thoughts on this game so far?
For me, you know, I come into this game with like zero expectations. I didn't think it was going to be City. For me, you know, as long as it's like a respectable score, then that's fine. Like, I never thought it was going to be City at home anyway. I know a lot of like Man United fans have been like gassed and all super confident. Well, no, I don't say a lot of Man United fans, but some Man United fans have been gassed and confident about going into this game. But for me, I look at like Haaland. I just think this team right now is like it's a super team. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's a super team, and we're still trying to figure out, you know, how we want to play. We're getting there slowly but surely, but it's more slowly than anything. I just didn't expect us to win a game like this. Also, on top of that, there's like a common thing with Man United is after the international break, I can always bet on us losing. I don't know what it is, but after the international break, I can always bet on us losing. We're always slow to kind of get momentum again, and we're definitely a momentum-driven team. Like, you know, once we got the momentum, we're good to go. Like, if this game had come before the international break, I feel like this game looks a bit different, and it's more competitive. But as it seemed in the opening, like, 30, 35 minutes, City have just been balling and had us camped, and there's been obviously a lack of quality in the team.
Yeah, it looks like Varane might have just turned his ankle there as well. That looked like a little bit of a bad one, so that's one to watch, because he's actually, I think, been in some good form this season, to be fair to him. Like, this is probably the first time, I think, in a United shirt that we can say he's looking more like the Varane of old, really. Do you agree?
I think when he first came in, he looked really, really good, and then he got injured. This was last season, and then he got injured, and then he got rushed back, and then he got paired with Maguire, and I feel like his season seems much worse than it actually was. But every time he come back, and every time, well, when he was starting, so when he first started, I feel like it was great, and then when he got injured and come back, it was good. But Maguire was injured.
Typical.
Yeah, Maguire was injured.
Inevitable.
And then when Maguire came back, our seasons fell apart, really.
Yeah, that's tough. You've lost Varane just for that corner as well. I'm not sure if he was the one that was going to be marking Haaland, but Haaland free header.
Very free.
Yeah. couldn't keep from going in. But yeah, I think that's interesting what you're saying about Varane and the whole Maguire thing, because obviously this international break as well, there was a whole focus on Maguire, Harry Maguire, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And like Southgate's backing him to the hill. He said he's basically, this is the hill I'm going to die on. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to stake my reputation on him.
Nuts.
And then, you know, in that, was it the first or the second game where he's basically just
the second game against
Germany, and he's cost England 2 goals really in that. And it seems quite strange to me that coming up to the World Cup that you're really going to stake your claim on a guy who really hasn't been playing well for 18 months.
Right. It's insane. Like, it's insane. Like, it's, you know, I feel like that's Southgate just being naive and being stubborn, like thinking that he knows better than, you know, the Man United manager, thinking he knows better than the Man United fans, thinking he knows better than the England fans, because Harry Maguire has been booed before. So people have obviously watched the games. You're being stubborn and you're being naive, right? And ultimately, again, like in those Nation League games, and for me to just glorify friendlies, I feel like it cost them. Mm. Maguire, I mean, yeah, man, Leicester said they're better. I see a report about him saying, like, if things don't change, then he's going to consider his future. For me, that's music to my ears.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if, consider your future, please.
I think it's just one of those ones where the club and the player just have to come together and agree that it's not worked out. And, you know, it's time for you to move on, really. But it's
been a flop.
Yeah, he has been a monumental flop. That's the most expensive defender in football history, and he's been pathetic, really, for United. So yeah, we'll keep this game on in the background. We'll see what the final score ends up on. It's 35 minutes played, 2-0 to City, and it's looking like it could get.
It's looking like it's going to be a battering, man.
Yeah, it could be another 4 goals for Ten Hag's side in the first 8 games. So we'll see how this transpires. But the big game of the weekend.
The Manchester Derby.
The big game of the weekend was obviously yesterday at lunchtime, North London Derby. I think Toby and I will both agree that I think that's the best derby in the division, and I think that's probably just because of how close the teams are and have been in the past sort of 4 or 5 seasons at least. The stakes are always high, and it was a fantastic game yesterday, I thought.
For you, of course.
I thought. So I'll start with you, Toby, on your thoughts on that game. Firstly, with the lineups, how you lot set up, and then the game as well.
I didn't like the lineup, to be honest. Mm. It's not like it was the worst thing ever, but I didn't like the lineup simply because I felt like it was yet another game where we're basically conceding the midfield battle before a ball has been kicked, because Conte's a smart man, and there are many, many logical football
3-0.
Fans.
3-0.
There you go. They're getting rushed.
That guy's a demon.
So, there you go. It's been to be honest, just before we get back to Northern Dark, it's been an absolute onslaught.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ, what a ball from De Bruyne.
Oh my
what
God. Finish.
It's been an absolute onslaught. There was a period, I remember, before the second, in the lead up to the corner for the second goal, Man City had like a 2-minute spell, just peppering them. In and around the area, just peppering them. Grealish had one, then Foden had one, then De Bruyne had one, just peppering them. So I think this is a reality check for Man United that as good as their results have been recently, there's still many, many holes in this team.
Yeah, it's
many,
a tough
many
one.
Holes.
Because I guess Casemiro's not really been bedded in yet.
Yeah, he hasn't been bedded in yet because I don't think that he's nothing really to do with him. I just feel like the team's been playing well.
Mm.
So because the team's been playing well, like ultimately, yeah, like one, you don't want to change it, but what signal does it send out if like a player with a name could just come in and you've been playing well and the player gets swapped out straight away? Mm. It means that it's not based on merit, innit?
Mm.
So
it'll be a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation for him, though, because now they will lose 3-0, and they'll obviously, you know, it's a cliche, they'll say, oh, if Casemiro didn't play, if Casemiro plays, they're still getting flogged.
Yeah, 100%. They are, yeah.
They're still getting flogged, because they're playing up against the best side in the league.
Yeah,
it just is what it is. Like, you know, when you play up against the best side in the league, you know, it's a tough task. It's a tough task, but ultimately, that Haaland... as you said, Dan, earlier, like when we played City, especially in like recent years at home, don't think they had that number 9 in recent years where it's like, oh, all right, cool, be like worried. this guy, Haaland, is the ultimate equaliser. He's somebody that you have to think about in your mind all the time. And then even if he's not scoring, right, let's say for like the first goal, I didn't see the first goal, but if he's not scoring, you have to think about him. And then, you know, when he does get opportunity, either I see the movement for the header, elite movement, and then the movement and the ball for the third goal. It's nothing really, you know, for that's, me. Anyway.
That third goal, I don't think you can defend that.
It's crazy. It's, like, it's a the crazy
cross,
finish.
The cross and the finish is just, it's indefensible. And how many goals is that in the league now?
I think it's 11.
I think it's 12.
It's 13, because he had 11 already, right? He had 11, was it? 10 or 11 in the league and 2-3 in the Champions League.
In 8 games.
Bro, it's mental. Like, he's put my golden boot shout to shame, because he's like, I expected him to get like early 20s. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this guy's going to get like...
He might touch 40 goals.
Bruv, it's insane. Like, he needs to slow down. Someone needs to slow him down because it's mental what he's doing. And that finish as well for the third goal, like... It seems like a poacher's finish, but it's crazy. Like, the way that this guy can connect to the ball mid-air and plant it in the back of the net. Like,
and get the power and the positioning
he's
on
got,
it.
He's got
nuts.
Everything, bro.
Like, that's what you call literally sniffing out a goal. Like, he's an expert at doing
Varane's
that.
Varane's had to come off, so Varane's come off injured.
That's
Lindelof,
a big... Lindelof?
That's a massive blow.
Yeah, that's a big blow. Have we seen Lindelof under Ten Hag?
Yeah.
I think we
Europa, maybe. I feel like he's played one game, I think so. I can't remember. I feel like he's playing one game, but either way.
Did he play against Brentford? Or was that Maguire?
I think it was Maguire. Because for me, I've always thought that Lindelof has been better than Maguire.
He is better than Maguire.
So I've not understood why Maguire's the one who's been
Maguire is a benefit of his price tag, innit? It's like, ultimately, we fucked up. We've paid 80 million for a player that shouldn't be 80 million. Let's see if somehow we can get some value back from this signing. It's nothing to do with merit. Mm. It's like, fuck, we fucked up. Can we do something? Like, can we just play him into some type of form? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Where it kind of like justifies, you know, even a portion of that price tag. But yeah, ultimately, every time Maguire plays, we lose.
Who's this?
We get battered.
Oh, the left back. Kyle Walker's gone off injured as well.
Their injury problems are mounting, you know? And yeah. They're picking up too many injuries heading into...
This busy period is going to be insane.
It's nuts. Yeah, Diaz injured. Now...
Diaz and Laporte are both on the bench, I think, though.
I thought he was carrying injuries. Phillips injured, Rodri injured.
Yeah.
They need to get their players back.
This October, I think, all the top six have got 9 games each.
I think we've got more than 9. I think we've got like 10 or something.
We have the most. We've got 13.
13 games in October? How come?
Because I think we've got rescheduled fixtures as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we have the most fixtures, and Europa League, obviously, in October. It's insane.
Yeah, that's the wrong time for Varane to go down, really. Yeah. But yeah, back to yesterday, Toby. What were you saying about the setup and midfield?
Yeah, no, like the lineup, because we're in the same group chat. Me and Ronnie were discussing it. Like, you knew how Arsenal were going to set up. We've watched them all season.
I think it's 4-0.
Oh my god, Grealish. Oh.
This is crazy. This is actually wild. It's nuts. What, like, I'm seeing here, man.
It's total domination. I think it's like something like 15 attempts Man City have had in the first half. 15 attempts United have had too. It's nuts. Yeah, the domination is a joke. But we're probably going to see another goal now. But yeah, on the lineup, you knew how Arsenal were going to set up. And those are the disappointing things with Conte, because I love that he's so like, headstrong in his beliefs and his principles, but at times he needs to adjust our lineup and our approach for the opposition.
Mm.
And similar to Chelsea, I remember Chelsea adopted an approach not once, not twice now, where they put 4 men in the midfield against our 2, and the numerical disadvantage we have is too much, and we can't really gain enough of a foothold in games to even break as much as we want to anyway. And the same thing. Oh my God.
Oh, it's 4-0. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Yo, this is an absolute slaughterhouse.
Oh my God. And you know what's mad as well, yeah?
Nah, Mario, yeah? Nah, the inquest. Seb, he's left you on your ones. You know that? He's left you on your ones. to fight.
Yo, they left me here, bro. They left me here. But hey, you know what?
Bruv, I was coming here to get blamed. Thank you, Man United. Thank you so much.
Taking the shine off it. Hey, don't worry, I'm coming for you, Tony.
Yeah, I know you are. Shut up, man. I'll lift you out of this chair. So basically, yeah, no. I don't like
that, the fact... Hey, listen. I'm not going to say too much, but when we record, when we go back onto that recording, that passage there between you two, it's a bit mad. That's what I'm going to say. It's a bit mad. That's what I'm saying there. Yeah, it's a bit mad.
Right, pause. Let's pause on that. Big pause. But anyway, the two in midfield, like, it was never going to be enough to gain a significant foothold on that game. And I know the tactic for us is to go there with a low block, but against the way, especially with the way you lot are playing now, you need three midfield there. You absolutely need three midfield to try and match them. First of all, try and match the midfield three and actually get more options, more passing options in the middle of the park. Mm. I felt like there already we've shot ourselves in the foot with a lineup. And then on a right back or right wing back situation, I know everyone going ham with my tweet when I said he's going to...
You set yourself up there, man.
I did, but you know what it was? It's because I knew he was going to start no matter what. And I knew, I thought that of all the crap things that this guy does, the one thing that he's actually been remotely decent at doing, and you've admitted this too, is defensively in these games where we play a low block, he's actually proven to be quite competent. But yeah, like, I think not for the first time, not for the second time, not for the third time again, why is he an undisputed starter in this team?
Mm.
And again, he is not the reason why he's not the sole reason or he's not the main reason why we lost yesterday, but he is a reason. So again, before the match has even started, you're already saying to yourself, wow, like, we've got a handicap here. And the last thing we want is a handicap coming into a game against the most informed side of the league at their ground in a North London derby.
Mm. Yeah. And to me, to be fair, I was very, very confident of picking up the 3 points. Obviously, I think with your strike force, there's always a danger. But I felt that given the way that we've been able to defend transitions this season and some parts of last season, I felt quite confident that we'd be able to keep you lot out, especially seeing that Partey was going to start. I think his understanding of where to position himself in that number six position really helps us from blocking transitions. Like, I think that United match probably got a few Spurs fans quite excited. Because obviously you see Arsenal are pushed up high, they're not compact, there's space in behind to run into. But if you look at us over the last sort of 18 months to 2 years under Arteta, there's not actually been that many instances where teams have really blammed us, and it's more like a Wenger or Emery team where you're seeing all that big space in behind. But obviously against United, Old Trafford, we weren't able to do that. I think, you know, the player that was playing number six, Lokonga, probably at fault for probably two of those goals. I think his position wasn't quite right.
Makes me feel good.
But hold that 4-0, man. Don't worry. But I thought
top of the league, you gonna win it? Are you gonna sit your stool down?
We'll come to this, man. I'm not running scared, man.
You're not running scared.
I'm not running scared, man. Don't worry about that.
I love that.
I'm not running scared. But yeah, so I think the game basically played out how I thought it would. For me, I thought Son was very, very disappointing. I think he basically held the keys to you getting something out of the game, because it seemed that all of the outballs that you guys had fell to his feet. And he didn't really take the usual care that he does in possession to really play it in behind. And I thought that when we had the ball, we didn't necessarily, you know, have loads and loads and loads of threat, but we were in complete control of the game. And, you know, we were having this discussion earlier about, you know, the timing of your goal, etc. And for me, I thought that came against the run of play. And then after that goal, you then were in the ascendancy for me, especially for at least 10 to 15 minutes, where there was a number of openings where you could have played that final ball and really put us to the sword. But thankfully for us, you weren't able to do that. And then I think after hearing the manager's team talk at halftime, we basically suffocated you, got the second wind. Jesus got the goal off that Lloris howler. And then for me, I thought the game was going to be over from then. But obviously Emerson basically makes it much easier for us as well. So
he took it. I think Emerson, the thing is, like, I'm not going to sit here and say the red card is what was the pivotal factor in you lot winning the game because you were already 2-1 up anyway, and there were 20 minutes. Almost 20. So he got sent off on 62 minutes. The match, obviously, the second half starts at 45 minutes. Mm. So there was almost 20 minutes where we were second best. And it wasn't even just the Lloris howlers. I remember Jesus had a header, header that he should really be getting on target. And we looked uncomfortable. But what I held on to was the fact that we also looked uncomfortable in the first half. In the first like 30 odd minutes, and we sort of found a way to get back into the game. Yep, mistake from Gabriel, whatever, but we found a way to get back into the game, and we were able to at least engineer potentially some breakaway opportunities. And I felt like maybe if he could bring on like Bissouma or something like that, or switch it up at 2-1, you've got a chance of getting back into the game. Okay, no one knows that if Spurs could have got back into the game, but I think Emerson getting sent off just completely kills it as a
contest. There's no contest.
It just made it, because like you're already like I said, you're already suffering, and then you go down to 10 men, 2-1 down in a North London derby, and you're the home side. Forget about it. It's done. Mm. It's done. And for me, I remember he brought on four changes after we went 3-1 down. And everyone's like, oh, he's thrown away the games. I'm like, no, he hasn't thrown away the game. The game's over.
It's damage limitation.
The game is over, bro. Like, why did he take off Son and Kane? Are we watching the same thing? Mm. Like, the gaps in our team were massive, bro. Like, so massive. Like, it was nuts. Like, from that period, from when Emerson got sent off to the point where we made the subs, like it felt like Arsenal could score 2, 3, 4 every single attack.
I was saying in the crowd, I was saying I want 5. Bro, you know? Like, so because that third goal, the way that we scored that third goal,
opened up,
slashed you lot.
Like Thomas Partey has the freedom of the pitch to drive the ball, wait for the right timing of his pass, good pass. Martinelli's run bamboozles Romero and leaves the biggest of gaps for Granit Xhaka. Granit Xhaka's had all the time and space in the world to pick his spot on his favoured foot as well. Like, come on. Like, the game's done. It's done.
Yeah. So, for me, I thought we had a number of good performers yesterday. Jesus, probably the first one that I'll talk about. Like, I just thought he really gave your centre-backs a tough time. Romero, especially, I think, was tasked with sort of trying to follow him out, because that's the sort of aggressive style that he has. But mm-hmm. I thought Jesus got the better of him. I thought Martinelli was very, very good yesterday.
How do you think, before we continue, how do you think Romero performed? Do you think he was bad? Because I think people are overdoing it personally.
I don't think he was good personally.
But do you think he was bad?
I think he was average, to be honest. Yeah, because I don't think he was bad. I don't think he did like anything necessarily especially wrong or egregious, but I think the first half under pressure, I don't think his passing was good. I think he gave away the ball more than a few times. I think Gabriel Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus got the better of him more than a few times. He gave away a couple of stupid free kicks. I thought he should have been booked. And obviously for the second goal, he's a little bit at fault there, where the ball comes to him and you'd want your centre-back to do a bit better there for me. So I don't think he had a good game at all, really. I'll probably give him like a 5 out of 10 max.
I thought he was... I gave him a 6 out of 10, personally, but it's the same. It's the... Fine. I thought yesterday, I thought he had a good game, but I see the third goal. Fair enough. I didn't really...
Oh, yeah, I even forgot that. Martinelli took him for a walk, man.
Yeah, so for me, I'm like... For me, and even on the Romero point as well, like, I don't think it's a diss that... Like, Jesus can get the better of Romero. I don't think it takes away anything from his quality. I think Jesus was fantastic yesterday. And I think, as we've seen this season, he's given literally every team he's played
hell.
But on the game itself, yeah, I felt that our attackers were just like, this is what we were discussing in the chat, right? And like, I know people are talking about the perfect situation to get something out of the game, but it is what it is. This is his tactic. Like, we've been in this situation before, and it's not even asking for perfection all the time, because I do think this season, of course, the onus will be on Conte. He's our manager, and he does take blame, as we've spoken about just now, for some of the selections, some of the approaches in the game. Like, even when we were 2-1 down, and we're still operating a deep block, at some point you're going to need to try and like get a foothold into the game. Give us maybe at least a mid block. Like, give us something to get ourselves back into the game. But I think with the players, like I've said this once, twice, three, four times this season, we still have one too many players that are starting for us that still have not hit their usual level.
Mm.
And that's starting to become a concern for me.
Yeah, so this is a question that I have, right? So Sebi, it'll be good to hear your thoughts on this as well, yeah? Because it's like pre-match, a lot of the talk was that, you know, Spurs haven't really hit their stride, etc. There's levels for them to go. But how long do you have to wait before you just say that maybe this is just them?
I don't know, man. I think, would you say, okay, let's say, that's a twofold question. Would you say it's just them under Conte, or do you, in your opinion, feel if they had a better manager, they'd improve from the players that they currently have?
It's a difficult one because I think, do they have the players to play like possession-based game for me?
I look at like what they have. I look at the use of Bissouma because Bissouma looks night and day from the player that they bought. Right, we know he's not rubbish. Like he's not a rubbish. He's a good player. So there's obviously something going on wrong. There's something going wrong there, right? I look at obviously Harry Kane and Son are normal. Like I think they're both like top players. They've got great defenders. They've got Paris. I think they've got a good enough squad to play better football. I just feel like I don't know. Like when I look at Conte and I look at the way how he plays, I don't know if you can play like that in the Prem anymore as a top team.
Mm.
I don't know, like. It's not going to be conducive because these are all technically goal players and it's more of an attacking game. So ultimately, yeah, it might be them under Conte, but I feel like if they got a new manager, someone that was a bit more progressive, I feel like they'd play much better football and I think they'd be more competitive towards like the top end of the pitch.
Mm. Yeah, because the thing is, I don't think that Conte necessarily always wants to play deep block football, right?
Because he didn't
necessarily do that at Inter. I don't think he did that at his first stint at Chelsea either, right? So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, like, why is it that Spurs are you're deep no matter the opposition, right, for long periods of time?
But you know what it is, though? I don't think we are always that deep. I think in games like yesterday, games like Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, I think we are deep. But I think the reason why we continue to approach those games in a deep manner is because when he's done it, when he's had the players that he trusts, we've got positive results.
Mm.
Like we can complain about playing a deep block, but none of our fans were complaining when it got us a win against Man City, where we actually played out from the back and scored some really good goals and created by far and away the better goal scoring chances. The same for Liverpool again. Two key games that hinged on us getting top four. So it's not like he's trying out a method that hasn't worked. I think what the issue is when it's not working, when you don't score the first goal, when you're trailing a game and we're still playing like this and you have the option to change the game in your favour on the bench and you don't do it, it's annoying. But at the same time, again, the first half, minute 1 to minute 30, Arsenal streets ahead. Minute 30 to minute 43, You see again traces of what he wants from the team. So I'm like I'm in a halfway house with it. Like I do think there are certain things that he can do to sort of change our approach. But I also think that he's been given justification for why he should approach these games in this manner. Mm. I just think at times he just needs to be smarter and I think he needs to choose the personnel to execute his plan better.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Because I think at times, yesterday, when our press was A1, as you said, you couldn't get out. And the moment that someone doesn't get there half a yard in or half a second too late, then you're at us. And I think for most teams in the league, that's why you have a lot of joy, because they're not necessarily as well drilled or they don't necessarily have the quality of players to implement a high press and stop you guys from generating chances. But so I think against the bottom like 15 or so teams, that's why Spurs get a lot of joy. That's why you score so many goals. I'm going to give credit to Tottenham and to Conte. I still think Conte's a top manager.
Of course.
But when it comes unstuck, as you said, in the Chelsea game, we watched it together here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you guys weren't in that match.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
until he changed. And even when he changed, it's still... Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So I feel like when you're playing the top teams, it's almost playing into their hands. Kind of thing, that if a team has an organised press and has, some tooth they've got a sharp end of the stick at the top end, it can be very difficult for you guys to come away with the point. So so that's enough on Tottenham, though, for me, to be honest, unless you want to add one more thing.
Just Son, just play better. Yeah. Richarlison as well. I know you lot want to come for him. Listen, I know you lot want to come for him. He didn't play well yesterday, but don't forget that is still UCL Richie.
I like Richarlison, but Sonny,
what's
he saying about Sonny?
Yeah. you don't even try it. You think because Rashford won that Fugazi player of the month, you can talk.
Hey,
you
listen, think because
Rashford won
the streets them. Voted? What do you want me to say? I didn't vote, bro. I didn't have my vote on this, innit? So
Son's been poor. Yeah, it's fact. Son has been poor this season. Even with the hat trick against Leicester, Son's been poor. But the thing is, he has these tendencies in the season. He has these periods where he plays poorly. He'll find his groove, but we just need him to find it.
What are you saying, streaky player?
Sooner. Hey, listen,
he is a streaky player, but he's still miles ahead of anything they've got United.
All right.
He is.
Of course he is.
Oh, what do you mean, of course he is?
Of course he is.
Are you still putting up this rhetoric that Rashford is better?
He's better than Son. There's one poor season.
In your dreams.
He's better than Son.
In your dreams. How many?
Let's see this season.
How many goes Rashford on free?
The same as Son.
Four, I think.
Three. It's three.
Oh, they're all
three
comps. Each. All comps. He's on four.
Three each. Yeah.
Man says all comps.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the league, bro.
Yeah, three.
You're playing fucking, who do they play? Yeah, Sheriff. Three.
Yeah,
FC
Sheriff.
He didn't score against them. So, yeah,
three. Who needs Leicester?
Yeah.
Three each, yeah? Tight one. We'll be back in May.
We'll come back. We'll see.
There's nothing to see.
We'll see.
Son is going to outscore him like he always does.
All right, we'll see how that is. All right, let's clip this up, man. Make sure you're on Discord.
You're lucky that we didn't even clip on the Discord. Because on the Discord, the thing is, I wish I had the media of the shit that you and Mariah were talking on the Discord. Because you would be finished.
All I know is
Well, Harley, you'd be finished. You are finished. You are finished in this establishment.
Son's dad was right, man. Son's dad was right.
Shut up. But you know what? Listen, we've spoken about Spurs's like issues. I think players need to start playing better, and Conte needs to approach some of these matches a bit more differently. But I do think, and I'll be real, I think you have to give some credit to Arsenal.
Just some credit. Yeah.
Arsenal flying, man. And this is what I'm saying. Like when I Shut speak up, to some bro, Arsenal some credit, Arsenal fans, especially the credit, in the Touchline media group, I say to them, why don't you be confident? You know, you're top of the league. You got Liverpool there.
Title challenge, yeah?
Why not? Why not?
Title challenge, then.
Listen.
No, wait. Before he answers, talk up the things about your team and then tell us why you ain't in the title challenge.
So listen to me. So obviously, right now, we're playing some good football.
Best football in the league.
I wouldn't go that far. I think City are still playing better stuff.
No, not this season.
Yeah, no, I think they are. So like all the underlying metrics are still with City. They create the most chances, concede the least chances, etc. Shots on goal, all of that stuff. And they've got Haaland up front, so they're scoring more goals than us as well. So I do think that this season we have performed like a team. So you know how you look at all them charts on that flow around the TL and it's always Man City and Liverpool in the top right hand corner.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like a big gap. But this season we're sort of in those same spaces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think anyone can look at the way that we're playing and say that, you know, we've not improved, we've not come on leaps and bounds. And basically this was something that I expected to happen from this season because I think we saw glimpses of it last year, right? So when we had our full strength team last year, barring Tomiyasu being out, you look at it from that period from game week 4 to like game week 28, I think we lost 4 matches, right, in that whole stretch, right? And then we lost obviously 6 in a row in the last 12, and we lost 3 at the start, right? So that pushes up our loss statistics. But if you look at that in like a 20 game period, we lost 4 games. We were performing, I think, at the like third best team in the league. So I was saying from this season, I actually expect us to take a big leap forward because number one, we're not playing with Lacazette. Number two, I'm not expecting Cedric to get as many minutes as he did. And obviously it comes down to the fitness of, you know, key players like Partey, Tierney, etc. We signed Zinchenko, left back cover. And we've got Gabriel Jesus coming in. So all of this stuff, I actually, like when they do the predictions, you look at the fixtures, a good start to the division. I expected us to win at least 6 of the first 8 games,
okay,
really. And so, you know, when you talk about
Right. I think so did everyone, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Which is fair enough. Right. But you look at, you know, what Liverpool have done. Liverpool haven't had those like hard games, etc. And they've won two in eight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, right? So you can't take these things for granted. And so my whole thing around title contenders, etc., and all of this is, I think our first 11 is good enough to put these winning runs together. We did it last season, and we're doing it right now.
Do you think your first 11 is good enough to win the title?
No, because I think City's. I think City's better than us. Right? All right,
but well, City.
Excluding City, I think our first 11 can hang with anyone's, really.
Okay.
Yeah, like, and I think the big test is going to be Liverpool, obviously
even Liverpool.
I think the way
midfield,
Liverpool,
yes.
I think the way Liverpool are playing right now, you have to be confident of being able to get results.
Okay, wait. Not get results. Just a quick question, Sorry. What would you say is a failure on Arteta's behalf in regards to league position?
League position.
Yeah. Not currently, taking into consideration where everybody is right now in the league,
where
how everybody's playing. What would you say is a failure?
Where everybody is and where and how everyone's playing. I think we need to finish in the top four, 100%.
Just fourth.
And I think, because one of my other points I've said to Toby as well is I thought it was always going to be Man City, Liverpool, top two, and then three teams for
Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal
for third and fourth, right? Mm-hmm. And I really don't think there was much between Spurs, Chelsea, or Arsenal, and any of those teams could finish in any position, right? And looking at it now, how the season's gone, I think we're ahead of Spurs, and I think Spurs are ahead of Chelsea right now as we speak. But
you heard of Chelsea?
Yeah. As in, like, just as a given, right?
So yeah.
On form and like playing.
On form and how we're playing and stuff like that, right? Just on form. But what I'm saying is, our first 11, we know that we have weaknesses there. Like, so we have limited wing depth. Emil Smith Rowe is normally a rotation option on the left wing or in centre mid. He's out until December.
Reece Nelson hype.
let's not go there. Elneny, who's Partey's understudy, he's out until January at the latest, at the earliest, sorry. So those are two positions where we have very limited depth. So if there's any injuries there, I think the quality differential is massive in wide areas and in centre mid. And then left back, we've got two injury prone left backs as well. So, you know, maybe.
But where's the depth in the other team other than City? Like, where's the depth coming from?
Yeah, but this is what we're talking about title, though.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm saying other than City, yeah. So even if you're saying, like, oh, you're just ahead of Chelsea on form, which would obviously
Chelsea have depth, though.
Who?
What do you mean, who?
Who's their depth in attacker?
They got Kukurea and Chilwell on one side.
Okay.
They got in centre backs, they got Thiago Silva.
No, I was talking about. Okay, yeah, all right, go on, yeah, keep going.
Fofana, Aspilicueta,
okay.
Koulibaly,
okay.
And Chalobah, that's five options.
Yeah, you're talking about. All right, keep moving through the pitch.
In the pitch, they got Jorginho, Kovacic, Kante.
Yeah.
Who's that German brother? Not German, Swiss brother. Zakaria, Mason Mount,
Gallagher.
Yeah, so they're good players. Yeah.
Ruben Loftus.
The last three. Last
no,
four.
No.
And then keep going and go to the attack now.
Yeah, no, but
go to the attack now.
No. I get the point you're making. Yeah. I think that, to be honest, like, I'm deep in it now. I genuinely believe Arsenal can get top four ahead of Chelsea. But what I'm saying to Dan's point is that from a numerical perspective, where they're playing Europa League and stuff, they don't have enough players to sort of spread the load. And where he says that they need to maintain their first 11 from period A to period X or whatever to maintain the title push, they're not going to be able to stretch.
But no one can maintain the first 11. This first 11 doesn't make no sense.
No. But that's my thing, right? So it's like, I personally think our squad as a whole is capable of hitting high 70s this season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the first 11, if they stay fit, stay together. So I think, I was listening to another podcast this week, right? They said the year that Liverpool won the title, they had seven outfield players that played 34 games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they didn't have the depth, really, right? So that's how they were able to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Man City, right? They had basically only three outfield players played less than 34 games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is crazy. Like, you need that injury luck, right? But what I'm saying is, if our first 11's fit, I think we can get 85-plus points.
Okay.
Yeah.
But where does that land you? Like, I need a position.
Yeah, that's the thing. Where does that land us? I think 85 points, that probably gets you second this season.
Okay.
Looking at how teams are playing, right?
Why so 85? How have you worked that?
And the way, the reason how I've done this, right? So we lost 13 games last season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're already plus 8 on the fixtures that we played last year, right? Like equivalent fixtures. So we lost to Palace away. We lost to Brentford away last season. I think we drew with one of the teams that got relegated at home, but obviously we've beaten Fulham now. So equivalent is we're plus 8, right? And I think there's other games where we will pick up more points. So some of these big games, if we're able to get even a point off Liverpool, that's another plus one, mm-hmm. right? Do you get what I mean? So I think we'll end up losing maybe 4 or 5 games this year. And I think that transpires to obviously more points on the board.
Only 4 or 5 games? You think you won't lose more?
If we could lose more, but I'm saying with the first 11, so with the first 11, we'll lose 4 or 5 games because no team's perfect. We're not going to go invincible, right? We already seen at United that we dropped points. So my thing is, I'm not running from the grind. Like, anything can happen. City, as you said, they're picking up injuries. They've got Champions League, this, that, and the other. They might, you know, lose 2 games on the bounce, and you never know where you end up, right? Like, it could end up being a Leicester season. So I'm not running, but I just think realistically, we have to look at the depth that we have, right, and say, how likely is it that that first 11 is going to stay together for that long? And I don't think it's that likely. So I think
he's never played more than 25 league games in exactly. both seasons, and he's literally integral to how they play in their midfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think realistically, you can't really say Arsenal are going to push City all the way. But as much as the way we're playing right now, I need it to continue. Mm. I need to continue. Come, and I think if we can get to the World Cup, being either still top, within a few points of Man City, why not stretch it to May? Mm-hmm. Right, that gives us time to reset. Gives you, I think it's only 2 games before the January window opens as well. Mm-hmm. Gives you time to bring players in. So why not, man? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not scared of saying, oh yeah, Arsenal are playing well. They can go the distance the or whatever.
Win right? the title. Say the words. You're saying the words.
But you need a lot of luck.
Yeah, go the distance. Yeah, go the distance. Say the team. Say the words.
You need a lot of luck, and you need circumstances to fall in your favour, but yeah, anything can happen, man.
I like that, that's open, bro.
And second of all, don't let this guy pressure you as well.
He's not pressuring me, he's confident that something's potentially happening.
You can tell me this, right? So I said before even pre-season started that I expected us to take a big leap forward, right? And I compared it to your season with Pochettino, right? Where, you know, third in the 2-horse race, everyone's trying to bant you, right? But then you were the youngest side in the league that year. I don't think you were equipped really for a title challenge of any sorts. And you saw that with the capitulation at Stamford Bridge where your heads just went. Even though I'm not talking about the result, I'm talking about the performance where your heads went, the composure went, you're kicking people out, this, that, and the other. But then the next season, and I compare that game to how we performed at White Hart Lane, probably the expression of that emotion or whatever came out different. Like, we just got blamed, and then Newcastle, we got blamed, right? But then the next season, you came and you put up 86 points, right? And I don't think you even signed that many difference makers.
Wanyama was the only one that was, I would say, is a difference maker
in that season. And I think that sort of added composure and going through, it's like soft factors, where you go through like hardship together. I think that really adds an extra layer for that the next season. So that the next time you come to these difficult grounds or go through these difficult periods, you're more together as a group. And that's why I expected us to take a big step forward. Then that was before we signed, this, that, and the other as well. So
what you're telling me is you're taking inspiration from your arch nemesis.
I'm not taking inspiration.
That's what you just said.
I'm just saying.
Have I heard that differently?
Yeah. I'm just saying as an example. Right? Okay, cool.
So you say potential title charge. But
he won't let this rest.
But lowest is second. So where we got out?
that's what you just said.
Like, fair enough.
You're trying to extrapolate. But what's your actual thoughts on Arsenal?
I love Arsenal. I love the way they're playing. People think, like, it's obviously some bits and jest, but some things I love the football that they're playing currently. In my opinion, they're playing the best football in the league. I don't think they're the best team in the league, but I feel like they're playing the best football in regards to combination play. Like, their build-up play is very, very different. We might see, like, the added X factor from City.
Anthony.
Don't celebrate.
So is this, but is this going to last though? Because
so
But my question is it going to last? And the reason why I ask that is because you know, North London derby, Arsenal fans, they shoot their load and they're like, oh yeah, all of this stuff. You know how it goes. So my question is, and I'm again not taking anything away from the performance today. I'm just asking, is it going to last? Because we have seen Arsenal, maybe not this good after 8 games, but we've seen Arsenal in promising positions. They start off a season well, and the second half of the campaign, they normally fall away.
Yeah, I mean, that happens, but I think there's like, especially with like the manager as well, I feel like it's a different, there's a different like ethos around this Arsenal team, especially with Arteta being like a hard taskmaster. I feel like they bought like reasonably well. Some of their players have come on. Look, you know, if Partey goes down injured, you know, that's like a key position for them. However, I feel like things like, you know, whether it's like the attacking midfield position, they've done really well in strengthening the striker position, which is one thing that I feel like was imperative for them. They've really strengthened, and he, you know, Gabriel Jesus brings a lot to the team other than just goals. They've brought Saliba back in. They've got a great partner, and you know, I feel like
Can we take a pause on that guy as well, because he is actually insane.
Like, it's a top player. I had to. He's just so mad, yeah. Like one of my guys, he knows, he's an Arsenal fan. When Saliba was at Saint Etienne, I was on him. I was like, yeah, we need to bring him to Man United now. As soon as he went, Arsenal, I had to change my agenda. I had to switch up my agenda.
You and Mariah used to slot for Saliba.
I had to change. But I saw it in it. Like, I was watching, because you know sometimes those French games will come on BT back in it. When I went, I just watched Saint Etienne. I said, "Oh shit, this guy's hard." And then, like, I went and done.
He's gonna look good in a Real Madrid top when he leaves them.
Hopefully. And then he's stalled on a new contract. You know, hopefully, you know, he's got some feelings that, you know, Mikel Arteta didn't really love him, and then he just bounced. Man,
they're doing a lot. I need that, man. And you know what? 8 games in, credit where it's due. Like, he's actually been like ridiculous. Like,
he's a good player, man.
And I think the thing that I wasn't even aware of until I was watching him for the game against us is, like, I don't think he's like a proper ball playing CB like that, but his composure on the ball is nuts. Like, I don't think he doesn't really get like phased by like what's around him, the pressure around him. Like, he can still back himself to do his thing.
You could learn a lot from him, Toby.
Yeah. There was one in the box. Like Son was going to get in, and he's literally just on the outside of his right foot, just spanned on it and left with the ball. Yeah. And I just think that composure, you can't really teach it. But
I think he's carrying, and I need him to be knocked off his perch. I need someone to embarrass this guy soon. But he's carrying.
He's got the VVD.
He's
Space Jam VVD.
genuinely, he's like the fruitcake version of VVD, because we can't forget that nonsense he was doing.
Stop that. Yeah. Listen, but cut this out. I'm not involved in any of that. That's got brand, bro.
Yeah, the list. I prefer not to speak on that one. Yeah,
but what I'm saying is he's carrying an aura.
Yeah, he's got an aura. Games.
Yeah,
but he's not doing the Van Delegate thing, though.
Yeah, yeah, he's actually engaging. Yeah. He's engaging.
So other games yesterday. So let's go to Anfield. Right, where not quite literally like one Koppen Fracas member did yesterday, with an 8-hour round trip to see his team concede 3, Rob Mush. let's go to Anfield, because I think Sebi, I think you're going to enjoy this segment, right? So again, international duty.
Why Liverpool look so bad?
Yeah. International duty. Southgate, you know, he came out and said, you know, Trent's not, he's got a lot to work on. I think some of the other players are a bit more well-rounded. I think he even named Trippier and said that Trippier is more well-rounded than Trent, right? And Klopp came out in this big defence of him, and he said, you know, the reason he's making these mistakes, or he's not in his positions, because this is the way that I'm playing, it's the risk that we take, etc. And all these Liverpool fans came out and said, yeah, you know, go on, you tell him.
Tactical.
You tell him tactical.
What a manager protects his players.
Only for Tiana Trent to rear his ugly head again against Brighton.
Why are you putting it like that?
Bruv, within 5 minutes of the Brighton game, they're 1-0 down from a Trent error, right?
Trossard
spun him out of his socks. And so, you know, like, number one, let's start with the Southgate comments, right? So, like, how much do you agree, disagree with that?
I think it's subjective, especially when you're talking about Trippier anyway. Yeah. Like, specifically that comment, that's subjective in my opinion, but I understand what he's saying. I understand the premise of what he's saying. He's probably saying, like, players are more balanced than Trent, rather than this player's like a better or this player isn't. And I think it's truth, like, because, you know, even before the international break, when Trent was going through a few things, I tweeted, like, he plays false right back, which he does, like, which Southgate, Klopp pretty much, like, confirmed. But, yeah, like, on Southgate's comments, yeah, man, I think it's subjective. It's what you prefer, what you see in training, do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think it's crazy because Trent's, I think, what, 23, 24? And a lot of his development in regards to actual defending, he hasn't spent a lot defending, right? Mm. So, you know, that's, you know, a Klopp issue, you know, in my opinion. That's a manager issue. But also he does great things for the team where you're like, you know what, I think we can ride this till the wheels fall off. But you know, his personal development is lacking. I always used to say to Liverpool fans, even when they were flying and Trent will score a mad goal or he will do a mad cross and Trent will post like some crazy like picture, so like some not crazy picture, but he'll post a picture of like the goal or, you know, his celebration with the goal or his celebration with a great cross or whatever. And I always say, what about the defending? Because ultimately he's a defender and we can't do this forever. Like, this is not going to last forever. We see defenders defend their whole career forever. We don't see defenders that can only do one part of the game forever not go without this criticism. Liverpool will be like, oh no, like he's doing this. I'm like, listen, eventually he's gonna have to defend. Like, Liverpool are not gonna be great forever. He's gonna have to defend and eventually we're gonna see what he's made of, and I think that's what we're seeing.
But you know what is though with Trent though, because I think it's established now that he can't defend, but I also think that I think people are too fixated on picking him out as the one that's the disruptor in that back line. If I'm being honest, they've all been pathetic. Like, no matter who's coming to that first goal,
especially was
into that defense to the midfield. Oh,
by the way, I captained the Haaland anyway in FPL.
Said I'm a leave with sign.
I'm a leave with sign, man.
But yeah, they've all been pathetic, and I do think that we have seen fullbacks over the years that have been predominantly known for their attacking, and they've been quite weak defensively, and they've still been lauded. Of course, when they're not defending well, they get criticised. The same way Trent deserves criticism, but you can't just pretend as if Trent is the only right back that, or the only fullback that's been rated because of what he does going forward. Like, Marcelo, don't care what anyone tells me, Marcelo has never been a good defender.
No, he's not. Yeah.
And he was widely regarded as one of the best fullbacks in Real Madrid's last like 20 odd years or something like that. So it's not just Trent. This issue is not just exclusive to Trent. God,
that goal is peak.
Wow. Let me see it. It's not just exclusive to Trent. However, Trent does need to improve his defending.
Mm.
The two things can be true.
But Trent also, it's not even about the fact that other players like are good at attacking or whatever. It's the fact that when we bring it up to Liverpool fans, it's a denial, right?
Like, and the thing is, it reminds me of almost like Aubameyang a little bit, right? In the sense that when Aubameyang was firing, yeah, and he's scoring 30 a season, there was a few people criticising, saying, oh, when he doesn't score, what's he bringing to the table, yeah, right? And for Arsenal, I think that only really became an issue once he stopped scoring, right? So, like, you see Trent this season, I think Liverpool have been, you know, they've been sixes and sevens, really, like two wins in eight. They've not been in good form, not been defending well as a unit, right? So now, when VVD's out of form, when Robertson's slightly out of form, when Fabinho's out of form, and all of this, it becomes an issue because now we can't allow this guy to just gallivant and do whatever he wants, because we need you to contribute to the unit now, because the unit is failing. Yeah. And I think that's a major, major problem for Liverpool right now, because I'm looking at the Brighton goals yesterday and they were, it was pathetic,
bro,
across the board, right? Like, Henderson, he used to be the guy, second balls, you know, 100%. I'll win it. It gets cleared, I'm winning this duel, and then I'm springing. Yesterday, Trent even did quite well, I think, from that initial cross, heads it out, dropping to Henderson. You've lost a duel.
Complete flap.
Like, you've lost a duel, and now they're back at you. Fabinho, not able to cover. I saw one, like, TikTok today where Liverpool fan onto Fabinho saying that he's lying about his age because...
Bro, he's so slow, and he just he's not you know what it is, not only is he slow, he's just not aggressive enough in his press,
because it looks like his legs have completely gone, and he's probably one of the younger of the that sort of established Liverpool team. He's only 28, so for his legs to crumble in this way, but then again,
look at the way Liverpool have been playing for like 2-3 years, man. It's mad. They've been intense, and it's so interesting that Henderson and Fabinho are looking, you know, a bit jaded. Like, I don't think that's a sustainable way of playing forever. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think you're probably seeing, like, some players are tired. Maybe it's time for Klopp to get in his coaching bag and switch some things up.
Yeah,
maybe. I think he even alluded to that earlier on this season, that Liverpool might look to sort of try and... They're going to have to... He said it's going to be difficult to do it whilst the season started, but they're going to have to reinvent themselves. But yeah, no, I just think, like, as a unit, like Dan said, like, they look awful.
It looks bad.
They look awful. And that's coming from us. Like, I know we've not played the best football, but at least our methods are somewhat working. Their methods are not working. Brighton yesterday could have been 4-0 up at Anfield in like 20 minutes, bro. Mm. And we're talking about Anfield. Yeah. They could have been 4-0 up in 20 minutes. And the thing is, Liverpool obviously took control in the second half, but I think Brighton sort of went away from what they were doing, from what I was hearing. Because when Liverpool went 3-2 up and Brighton sort of reverted back to what they were doing first half, they started peppering them again. Because I was watching the game in and out. And I think it's, like I said this, I can't remember where I said this, but it's too easy to get at Liverpool. It's way too easy to get at Liverpool. Brighton created six big chances at Anfield. Brighton.
Yeah. And the thing is, Brighton are a good side, but that's the first game under a new manager, you know.
Exactly.
No matter how good the coach is, I know he's had 2 weeks to sort of work with the players and whatnot, yeah, but you can't be getting blamed like that at home, right? And I think if you think back to, did you watch the Napoli game against Liverpool?
I saw the highlights. They got cut apart.
That was actually crazy.
That was an insane game, you know.
They got cut apart, and it's not just them. It's not just that as well. Even United in the United game as well. Like, United were easily able to manufacture situations where they look like they're scoring, and that's the biggest problem with Liverpool now. Like, whether they're playing well on the ball, whether they're not playing well on the ball, whether they're playing Fulham, whether they're playing, I don't know, Napoli, they just look easy to get at.
Yeah.
Any team can get at Liverpool.
Do you know when I clocked they were easy to get at, and I said, this is going to end soon? I think it was the Watford game when they won the league, their last game anyway. When I saw what Ismail Sarr was doing to Van Dijk, I said, all right, cool. I think this team eventually is like, because I'd never seen that before.
It's like an indicator.
It never happened. And I was like, I feel like this is coming to an end eventually.
You'd have to be concerned as a Liverpool fan, because the thing is, ultimately, I'm still back in Liverpool to, like, I think they still got enough quality where you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe you might not challenge for the title, but you can still sort of recover as a team that can comfortably finish in the top four. But right now, it's looking like everything is going wrong. The defense unable to keep teams out. Midfield. Their midfield's not able to keep the ball. Their attack's not able to score goals frequently as well. Like, all of a sudden now they're reliant on Firmino, who was basically nearly out the door in the summer.
I haven't heard that name in years.
I'm not even trying to rub out Liverpool, because, like, even me, I think it would be naive to sort of rule out Liverpool at this point in time. But you can't be a Liverpool fan watching this and not be worried. Mm. You can't.
And you're thinking, like, oh, international break, 2 weeks to work with the players, they'll come back. Mm. And it was just more of the same, really. And Salah's not really scoring either, which I think is another concerning thing, because I know Marco said on the previous pod that he's sort of changing his role
Marco Ducking. Well. Yeah.
Marco's a duck, bro.
He's a duck.
Yeah, so
man.
I don't know. Like, he's a duckers. There's no cop end guys here, so we can run free with the agendas. Really,
it's not even agendas. He said that there were train strikes today, and there's barely any strikes.
Yeah, but my thing on that, like, Salah's changed role, this, that, and the other. But
I'm not hearing it, man.
But Nunes didn't start yesterday, and it was Firmino, and that is Firmino is the system, as we've been told.
Yeah.
So Salah should really have reverted back to type, but I didn't really see much of that yesterday either. So, you know, how much of this do we want to, you know, because when it was Arsenal and we're handing out these big contracts, you know, I'm hearing down tools, they've lost motivation, this, that, and the other. And you look at Salah in the past year, he's had two horrendous losses for his country, in the AFCON final, not qualified for the World Cup, in what's supposed to be like a Ballon d'Or year for him. And he signed this massive contract. So how much do you think that he might be a little bit of a loss of motivation or a little bit of loss of hunger?
Potentially, man. Potentially. Do you know, it's very, very hard. Like, you know, there's a like a saying in boxing is like, you know, when, like, it's hard to get up when you're in silk pajamas and go for your run. Do you know what I mean? Once you've got, like, once you've got there and you've got the bread and you've got what you've won and you've secured, you know, that financial foundation and that backup, whatever, like, to actually go out and put in those same level of performances or that same level of, like, training or whatever. Obviously, I don't want to speak about training because I don't see that. But to put in that same performance is very, very different. So, for me... Yeah, man. I mean, very, very, very few players.
Is that offside?
Very few players get the bread and maintain like current levels. Mm. Yeah, very few players.
Yeah, that's one I'm definitely going to be watching for the rest of this season. Foden.
Jesus. He's got his hat trick.
Is he hat trick?
Hat trick for Foden. Hat trick for Haaland.
Kevin De Bruyne and Grealish.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Class. Grealish has really risen in this game, man.
He stepped up, man.
Jesus, man.
Fantastic. I will caveat, Man United ain't played in 4 weeks. So
he's onside.
I will caveat. You know what? We ain't played in 4 weeks.
Is he offside or
no? He's on.
Yeah, we ain't played in 4 weeks. It's rusty, man. So
rust, yeah.
Yeah, man. Like,
that's more time in the training ground with ETH.
Because obviously some players injured. Momentum. We need momentum right now. We're a momentum-driven team. So, yeah, man. For me, yeah, I always knew we were going to lose.
What's your fixtures looking like after this?
It's packed. So on Thursday, we do play against some next team. I haven't even heard of their name before. So hopefully... Do you know what? On Thursday, it's difficult. Because of momentum, I don't know if he plays our second team. But then we've got a fixture 4 days later. So I'm not sure what he wants to do.
It's Thursday, Sunday. You have to rotate, though, surely.
But I'm like, momentum. You need to get your momentum back, especially after this.
I think...
So, like, I don't know actually what you do. Because you have to get your confidence. You have to get your momentum back. So then you probably have to go out against this team in Europa League. You have to aim to smash them. But then, obviously, straight off the back of that, you've got another game. But I'd do that and then rest them for the return in Europa League.
You know what? Just off United and on Liverpool again. I'm not even trying to be doom and gloom with Liverpool because, like, we're just having a discussion, right? We know, like, Mo Salah is a world class player. Like, you expect that he's gonna turn this around. Yeah. He's gonna rise it at some point in the season. But I just think with the way they're playing now, this upcoming month, it's not going to be kind to Liverpool if they don't snap out of this soon. They've got Arsenal next away from home, and we've spoken about how good Arsenal have been this season, and we've spoken about how Liverpool have struggled against sides like Arsenal this season as well. So they've got that game on next Sunday, and then they play Champions League, and then they play Man City at home. Like, it's two back-to-back tough league games against the top two sides in the league. So whatever it is that's disrupting Liverpool, they need to find some sort of rhythm, man, like ASAP.
I would love to see them muddied, I can't lie to you.
Mate, for their fan base, I would love to see it as well.
Honestly.
Just for their fan base.
Where would we rank Trent in the league in right backs right now, currently?
On form, he'll be bottom because he's not playing well.
But let's say, like, not even on form, right? Generally. Top five, in regards to the top boys that we speak about in regards to, you know, the Reece Jameses, the
Cancelo,
Walkers or whatever, where are we placing him?
Easily in the top five.
He's still top five.
Still top five, three, but out of them three, like out of them lot that we've mentioned, where do you place him?
I think Cancelo is number one.
Okay.
I think, you know what? Reece James, I think you have to hold
you have hand. To give him credit,
you
right?
You have to. Yeah. I think Reece James, I'm not even going to be like, I hate Chelsea, but I actually think he's a world-class.
He's a world-class right-back for me.
So, if you're saying he's a world-class right-back and Trent is a world-class right-back, I'll admit, you know what, Dan. I've always been Trent over
so have I, so have I.
I think, I'm going to have to put them neck and neck. I think them two, if I'm building my team, I'm going to have Cancelo followed by Reece James or Trent, and then Kyle Walker will get the fourth spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll probably put James over Trent right now, just because
I don't want to say it because I got too many ups.
I'll put James over Trent, because for me the whole thing why I previously had put Trent above Trent James is just because of the X factor that you get with Trent, right? And I think for me, when I'm watching players and Trent, there's times in a game where I literally just say, wow, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think you can't really put a price on that. So And that's the same with Cancelo as well, right? Yeah. So that's why I thought I had Cancelo probably number one, Trent number two, James three, then Walker. But I think, this past sort of, 6 months-ish of...
I wouldn't even say six. I think it's probably like 18. I would say like the last 18 months, I've seen a madness in Reece James.
Reece James as well. Saying Trent, the downturn in Trent. And I think James has probably... Because he's only made this debut, three seasons ago for Chelsea, right? Yeah. So, in that time, I think he's actually come on leaps and bounds.
100.
Probably peaked at the Champions League final, where I thought he was
ridiculous,
unbelievable ridiculous. In that game as well. So, yeah, I'll have to put James above Trent now.
And I think with James as well, I think, when I look at him, I don't think he's like a lockdown defender. Like, I do think there are right backs out there that can defend better, but I think... He's a good enough defender to be able to do his job diligently. And what is mad about him? And I've seen clips of his sister as well. Like they're both teched out. Like his first touch, his dribbling, his shooting, his crossing. Like that family is actually in the genes. They're both teched out. And I think with Reece James, I think the one thing that you would say that for me, Trent edged it over Reece James is that like Trent is still ridiculous with the ball at his feet. And I still think Trent on the ball is better than Reece James, but I think Reece James is much better on the ball than I used to give him credit for. Significantly better on the ball.
He's really, really good on the ball. And he's a big threat as well with that, whole wing-back system.
He can play centre-back as well on the back three. Yeah. I feel like he's way more adaptable than Trent. He allowed Tuchel and even Graham Potter now to switch. He can switch in-game, put him right back, put him right wing-back, put him right centre-back.
And, you see that whole thing that Klopp was saying, building a system for Trent. I think that is a positive in some lights, where you're so good that I need to build the system to get the best out of you, mm-hmm. because that will win me football games. But then on the flip side, someone like Reece James is so versatile, it almost gives the manager more freedom in terms of what they can do tactically, because you can fit at right back and give me a top performance. You can play right centre back in a free and give me a top performance, or you can play right wing back and give me a top performance as well.
And England are not shy of right backs. As I said, saying Southgate, I think alluding to Trippier being more balanced than Trent. Oh, that's a preference situation, right? Yes, it depends how high you rate Trippier's defensive capabilities, right, and how high you rate his attacking capabilities. Of course, it's not the same levels as Trent, but if it balances out in his head, he's like, I'd rather take the risk here. And that's totally preference.
You'd rather take an 8 out of 10 attacker with, 5 or 6 out of 10 defending than a 10 out of 10 attacker with, like 3 out of 10 defending.
Yeah,
especially in tournament football as well, man.
Yeah, as I've always said, tournament football is about 1v1. It's about 1v1 duels all over the pitch.
But you know what it is though, I had this discourse with England, you want your best player, you want your best players available. And for me, I still think technically he's England's best.
I think best he should right go.
You have to take him. It's like you don't necessarily have to start him.
I don't even know. Yeah. where he plays. I don't know if he, if is Trent's the one that, all right, we're losing, do you come on and we change it up and we play to your capabilities? Like, he has a role in the team, I just don't know what it is.
I think it's one of them ones where it's like, it's 1-0,
yeah,
20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Chuck him on. Take off. Take
a couple
off,
attackers. Bring on Tony.
Yeah, take off a defender. Yeah. Chuck him on. Chuck the big man on. Yeah, see if he can, see what whip can happen. Something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. Like, he has to come because of that, because his right foot is obviously ultimately like a serious weapon. But I get Southgate's points, basically.
Mm. Man City's press is insane, man.
It's mad, man.
It's nuts. And just, I guess...
Well, how long left, man? I'm done with this shit.
10 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Segwaying onto Chelsea as well. Yeah, I just wanted to mention as well. Them Chelsea fans were done dirty by against us. We were shocking officiating.
Yeah.
In the lead up to our equaliser, and we didn't hear the end of it, and rightly so, because it was a shocking decision.
Yeah, it was poor.
I want those same Chelsea fans to give me the same voice on what happened in their game yesterday, because I saw petitions. I saw petitions, think pieces. Oh, it's a conspiracy. The game to be
replayed.
Oh, get the game replayed. And I saw Thiago Silva handball, like blatant handball.
Egregious.
And they looked at it in VAR and they didn't give a red card. And Thiago Silva then goes on and assists Aubameyang with a header for the equaliser. So I just want the Chelsea fans to keep the same energy. That's that. I think that's what I'm asking for.
Mm.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair. And the thing is as well, the handball, for me, it's almost like worse than like a last ditch challenge, because it's just so blatant.
Yeah.
What you've done, like, you've literally...
There's no like subtlety to it as well. Like, you've literally used your hand.
Yeah, so that was a mad thing. And did you watch the match? Because I only saw highlights of the match of the day.
I watched some of it in the second half.
So what do you make of Chelsea? Because that's Potter's first home league game.
Away.
Or first league game, sorry.
Was it? Is that his first league game?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
He played Champions League.
Yeah, they played Champions League. They drew.
I felt, from the bits I watched... I thought they were good value for their win, to be honest. When I was watching it, they looked better than Crystal Palace. Mm. But I only tuned in into the second half. It was a really good goal from Gallagher. I didn't watch it until that long, but I saw the goal. But when I was watching it, yeah, I expected them to win that game anyway, simply because, like, as formidable as Palace can be at their ground, I feel like Chelsea, at this stage, they just have too much in their locker to go there and not get a result. And I do think Graham Potter is a competent enough coach to set them up in a way that they can get the 3 points. But I didn't watch the game thinking, yeah, wow, like, I'm overly impressed. Like, they just did enough to win.
Mm. Yeah, like, I only saw the highlights of Match of the Day. And the thing is, we've matched 6-2.
6-2.
Who scores?
Martial.
Yes! A man's doing this. He's pointing. It's like, bro, you're 6-2 down.
6-2.
Look at this. Where's Rashford's goal, buddy?
He's off.
But where was his goal when he was on?
Just come back from injury.
Ah, okay.
He hasn't played in 5-6 weeks. Shot.
Fred, bro. Fred, you know. Coin going up.
Yeah, 5-6 weeks, bro. Jump, okay. Yeah, we get back.
How many goals for Rashford this season, big man?
In the league.
In all comps?
In
fact, in the league. Let's talk in the league.
No, we're not doing all comps.
Let's talk in the league, because we don't count FC Sheriff and FC.
I think he will score 15.
15 league goals.
15 league goals.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
You're willing to put some money on that, big man?
I don't bet.
Oh, yeah, how convenient.
Yeah, I don't bet.
15 is a lot.
15 league goals.
That's a lot of goals.
When was the last time he scored 15 league goals?
2 years ago.
Ole's first season, I think.
No, I think 2 years ago, before the injury.
Scored 17, innit, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like before the injury, 2 years ago.
And he doesn't take penalties, remember that? Because he scored a lot of penalties that.
No, not that one.
Wait, who's on pens now?
Bruno. The year before, he scored bare pens. The year after, I think he only scored 2 or 1.
Go on.
Poor first touch.
You should hit that first time.
First time, yeah.
Fucking hell, that's cool, man.
I'd love seven,
this,
man.
This is a massive.
I would love seven,
man.
Because on the highlights, it looked more even to me. I think Palace were able to fashion a few chances, really, against Chelsea. Mm. But I can't really go off highlights because they made North London Derby seem a lot closer than it was as well. So
you lot in this. I told you, just stop. You won and they gave you all the gloss you wanted. Just hey,
I need more, man.
Yeah,
these Arsenal fans more crying. Oh, they didn't give us anything. Give me more minutes. Of that. Bro, yeah, bro. Shut up, man. You got the gloss, man. Just
this
enjoy
is,
it.
This is a W to me, God. Man.
How are your veins this time?
Yeah, they're subdued, but they'll be back. They're subdued, but they'll be back. When do we play you at our ground? When do we play you at our ground? February. I don't know.
What you said? Do you think you're going to win there?
I don't know. Whenever it is. They'll be back at that game.
Don't worry, man.
They'll be back at that
game. The thing is, you know what it is? You know it's funny? Because North London Derby, home team basically wins, or a draw.
Yeah?
But my thing with this is a question for you, Toby. Like, when's the last time at home, what is the best performance that you've put in against us in the last sort of five seasons at your ground, where you've like come out and, because I think at the Emirates we have like battered you, we put you to the sword, it's been a non-contest. So I'm saying at your ground, what is the best performance that you've had like last 5 years against us?
So what's 2022? I think the one in 2017 was good. That was total domination. Our last game at White Hart Lane, that was total domination. We won it. I think it was Ali scored the first goal and then Kane gets his customary.
That's Pochettino, yeah.
We battered you.
Because my thing is, since Pochettino, I don't think you have played well against us at your ground at all.
But I don't think we need to. But I agree with that.
But you've been able to pick up the points.
Outside of last season, I agree with that.
Last season, do you think that was a top performance from you?
Not a top performance, but it was good. It wasn't like a 10 out of 10.
Because for me, that was basically done as a contest inside 20 minutes.
Yeah, but we were 1-0 up before. But that's what I'm saying. We were 1-0 up before.
From a soft pen.
It wasn't a soft pen. It was a stonewall penalty. Let's not do this. It was a stonewall penalty. The thing is, the point you're making, is fair. It's fair. Like, I don't think that we've had like vintage performances, but I can say the same thing for you when we were in the ascendancy at your ground. There were games where you lot didn't even play that well, and you still got something out of the game.
I hear that. But I think and this is why I have a bit more confidence going into it this year. Is that what annoyed me? Is that last year, you remember in the chat, right? I was giving it the big one. I was saying,
if
we played to our capacity, I couldn't see you winning, right? But
if unicorns were real and pigs could fly,
unfortunately, I think our squad ran out of steam by the time it got to that match.
Okay,
three games left, too many injuries, too many players missing, and I don't think we were able to put up a contest really.
So why didn't ours run out of steam?
You're playing one game a week. You're playing so as injury prone as us.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
It is true. Our key players are quite injury prone. Look at
Romero. Romero didn't play that game.
Thomas Partey.
Romero didn't play that game. You played a back five that you guys would say that would be baby food for us. And we played a back five of Chicken Royale, Davinson Sanchez, team, Eric Dier, Ben Davies, and Sessegnon.
And that's
the back five we played.
And what had that team been doing in the games prior to Arsenal? That was basically your starting lineup.
Jeez.
Yes or no?
No.
Who was missing?
Matt Doherty.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like last year, if you look at the players who started, right, you got a half fit Tomiyasu playing left back. You got Rob Holding starting, I think maybe his fourth game of the season. You got Cedric at right back. You've got Elneny playing centre mid. Instead of Partey.
This sounds like you problems.
It is us problems, but I think like if you want to contextualize that game and you're saying, oh, where was the energy?
I think it might be 6-3.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You scored again?
I don't know, I think Martial.
Let's see.
I don't know.
Let's see.
Battering. Doesn't take it.
It's not a baron. That's of course calm. That's respectable.
You've held six.
We're batting. We're going back and forth.
It's a free goal.
I don't mind that. A free goal, I don't mind. I don't mind. Free goal.
You see at the top of the pod when you said respectable.
Yeah, respectable.
This guy's crazy. But go on, your point. So basically you're saying that we've not put up the same level of performances that you have, and with the way you're playing this season, you'll back yourself.
I have more confidence, right, in being able to get a result, and that's the thing, because I think when you had Pochettino, I think you did have multiple games where you basically blammed us, right, at your ground. Like we could have
blamed you last season, though.
Yeah, all right.
we blamed you last season.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about performance wise.
Okay,
right? Performance wise. So I'm saying like this season, if we come there with, enough starters. Yeah,
this guy is now. You see, Seb, you see what this guy's doing. Because I said they're not going to beat us at our ground.
If we come there with enough starters, man,
and I said, oh, if we come in enough starters,
we got a little sign. For you, man.
They're going to lose that game.
We got a little sign for you, man.
They're going to lose that game.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So yeah, Martial bins that pen. So 6-3. So Seb, summarize for me. Where does this leave you?
It means that Martial's going to bag more goals than Rashford.
It means that second half 3-2 to us.
You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace.
So for me, as I said, like it's a game of two halves, as they say.
That's excellent.
You're a disgrace. So, yeah, 3-2.
I don't mind that.
Can you stop saying 3-2?
It's 3-2. It's 3-2. I don't mind that.
You're a disgrace. Yeah. You're a disgrace. I swear.
I knew City were going to, but what I like, anyway, like all jokes aside, is pretty much like the mentality of the team. Mm. Like, it's very easy to just keep that, like, just.
Yeah, like Ole, once it's four,
we basically stop running.
It's game over.
And it just starts, yeah. It's either City keep the ball for 90 minutes if they want to allow us. Or
I can't believe what you're doing. How are
you trying to put this spin on a 3-2 battering?
You've been battered.
I don't mind. Listen, at the end of the day, top of the league.
You mean because you finally had enough shame to not lose 6-1.
I like that mentality.
Oh my days.
Fought back.
Bruno's crazy, man.
What did he do?
I don't know, but listen,
like, as I said, like on the previous managers, we literally just walk and we allow that to be 6-0 or whatever. So for me, those are some positives from the team. His mentality. And I also, you know, Martial for me is like he's a player super interesting. Like it's imperative that we need to buy a striker. For me, I feel like we done horrible by missing out on Scamacca. I feel like it would have been amazing for Man United. But having someone like Martial, who's great with the ball to feet and can hold up the ball, is going to be very, very important. Someone like him, doesn't have to be him, but it's going to be very important going forward. If we want to even end up in the top four this season, like whether it's like one of the youth players need to come on, like, or Martial can actually show some consistent vein of form. It, you know, just having someone up front that's going to stick, that's going to have the ball to stick, that's going to stick, keep the ball, and then also moving Rashford to the left, getting, I don't know where Santon needs to go, but yeah, getting Rashford on the left is going to be, yeah, super important for us finishing in the top four. But the lucky thing for us, Spurs are not great right now. Liverpool are not great right now. Chelsea, we don't know. They're still they are unknown because of Graham Potter. Mm. And that's the only reason why I'm saying, yeah, we might have a chance.
You think you can sneak it?
I don't think we can sneak it.
So where are you predicting to finish?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Look, at the start of the season, I just said, what about if Europa? We finish top six, that Europa League, I think we can. It depends, though. It depends because we lost our first game. So if... Because we lost our first game, we get drawn into the person who's finished third in the Champions League. So it depends. If we finish first in Europa League, I think we can win the Europa League.
Mm.
But if we don't, I think we get blamed by a good team.
It's an extra, it's an extra round of games, isn't it?
And it's like a good team that you play. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here. But if we finish first, I think we've got a good chance of that.
Okay, man. Yeah. Okay, so we couldn't get a Kopen guy, couldn't get a Chelsea guy.
Hey, listen, man.
Man, I'm running from the grind, but...
pathetic.
Tobes came and rep Spurs after...
We don't hide at New Spurs World.
After the 3-1. Held the 6-3 live on the air. And obviously, I'm here always. So I'm probably going to leave it there. Guys, thank you all for listening. And we'll see you all during the week on, you know, the regular club pods, man. But Seb, Tobes, thanks for joining me, man.
Bless up, man.
Safe. Podcast Network.